we'll start off with, you know, we were singing that song today, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I had a really, really cool word a couple weeks ago just on that. We went to, you know, the boys do speech and debate, and they kind of finishing up their senior year, and they do team policy debate together, so the twins do that together, but they do parliamentary debate. They have separate partners, and they each chose kind of younger guys to do it, sophomores, and not a, you know, not the way to like win tournaments and go to nationals, but they did win some tournaments, and they went to nationals with these young guys. And long story short, they went through and were doing really well at nationals. It was in Tennessee, and Luke got kicked out. Probably, I think they were down to like eight teams, and by that point, the tournament's kind of coming to an end. It's kind of parliamentary debate's kind of a big deal, and as far as like into the debate world, it's kind of the big event, I guess, for those tournaments. And Jake and his partner, this young guy, this sophomore, they just keep winning, and they're down to like eight teams, and the team they're going against, we know of them, and they're like a whole entourage of people that prep them, and the parents are lawyers and all this kind of stuff. And you know, I couldn't even go watch the debate. And there's, at that point, the tournament's kind of coming to an end. It's been going on for like 5 days, and there's like, I don't know, a couple hundred people probably that watch these things. And so I go hiking. We're in Tennessee, so I'm out on the trails, and man, I just got a real, really cool word about, you know, not by might nor by power, because I'm thinking about this whole entourage that's prepping this other team, and there's like Luke and a couple of the guys from their club prepping them on their topic. And you know, long story short, they ended up winning that round, and it was like a 2-1 decision. There's, you know, and God spoke that to me before they won, that they, you know, I got a word that they were going to win, that it wasn't going to be by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And you know, there were so many, you know, I've shared, you know, that we homeschool over the years, and just so many testimonies just about God's goodness and grace. And even at these nationals, there's like 5,000 people there, and it's all like homeschool and believers, and it's just like heaven. I mean, it's awesome fellowship, and I love going. And so that's kind of coming to a close. That was their last tournament, so it was kind of a fun tournament, but lots of cool testimonies. But that song, when we were singing that, reminded me. In fact, when I got that word, God showed me this is going to be monumental for me, and I shared it with Jake, and you know, he kind of confirmed it too. He was like, yeah, the Lord just told me exactly what to say. So it's kind of cool. And it was funny, they went on to the next, I think that was when there were maybe 12 teams left or something, I don't know, they went on to the next round. And the next round, the way they do it is that you pick, there's three topics, and each team gets to strike a topic. Well, the first team struck a topic, it's down to two topics. Well, one of the topics was arguing against 501c3s in the church. And, you know, Jake's heard enough about, you know, from Pastor Jim and this and that, and the coach and all these other people were like, man, do not do that one. Whatever you do, don't do that one. And Jake was like, no, I can win this one. I know. I know what we can say and this and that. And so anyways, he struck the other one. They did that, and they ended up winning that round and went down to four teams. So they did awesome. You know, it was funny because these other teams at that point are really ambitious. They're seniors and they're, you know, trying to win. And both, you know, Jake and Luke they weren't really ambitious as far as parliamentary debate. They chose sophomore guys. They wanted to sew into some guys in their club and teach and kind of train them. So it's kind of fun to watch them go that far in that debate. But anyways, that part of their life is over and they're moving on. But it was kind of a neat testimony. But anyways, today we're going to be talking about Numbers chapter 13. So if you guys want to turn to there, I guess we'll open in prayer here. Father, we thank you for a beautiful day. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. And as we dive into your word today, we pray that you just reveal yourself to us. Thank you that you're with us. And that on this Father's Day, you are the awesome, awesome Father. Perfect, loving Father. So we love you, Lord, and we thank you for being with us and for loving us. And we do pray that you'd open your word and reveal yourself to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd forgotten, actually, that it was Father's Day until this morning I woke up. I mean, I'd thought about it through the week, but it's kind of cool that Jim and all those guys are in Uganda. That ministry is, I've told Jim, that is, I don't know if you guys, that is an awesome, awesome ministry. Just our relationship with Pastor Joel and all those guys, you know, before, it's just, for me, it's just gotten richer and richer just spending time with Joel. I've never been to Uganda, but, you know, you hear about these African ministries and that, and it kind of started out that way with me. And the more we've gone through and had a relationship with Joel and all these guys, I have been super blessed by Joel and, you know, some of the brothers that have come, and just, man, what an awesome ministry. And, you know, to have all these kids, hundreds of them, you know, and for our guys to be there on Father's Day is pretty cool, to be there with, you know, not the orphans, but the champions. So anyways, so we're going to be in Numbers chapter 13 today. And, you know, Tam and I have been talking over the past few months, just something that's been very kind of another fresh realization for us is just stuff that, you know, Jim has shared over the years, just how important our perspective is on God and how we see him. You know, and Jim's always taught, is he a loving father or do we see him as an angry judge? And, you know, it's, I've heard it just over the years, but just the past few months, we keep running into situations, Tammy and I do, just where we're like, man, it is so crucial to know God as just a loving father. And so, you know, even this story, as I was reading through this week, I was praying about what to share, and this is just what was impacting me at work and in my family. This story just kept coming up, so this is what I wanted to share today. But it does, everything depends on just our view of God, and, you know, can we really rejoice in everything? Can he work everything together for our good? So it really does come down to how we see him, and, you know, is he that good to us specifically? So we'll start in Numbers 13:1, and I'm going to kind of read through. It goes through some of the names of these. This is the story about the spies. So it goes through some of their names. So sorry if I kind of butcher it, but 13:1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names: of the tribe of Reuben, Shemua, the son of Zakur; of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori; of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun; of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Raphu; of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodai; of the tribe of Joseph, namely the tribe of Manasseh, Gadai, the son of Susi; of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamali; of the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael; of the tribe of Nephtali, Nabi, the son of Vophsi; of the tribe of Gad, Guel, the son of Machi. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or few, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. We're going to go through, I'm going to kind of summarize here in a minute these points, but man, every single word of this matters. All that last verse that kind of just flew right over my head, even when I was studying this, I was kind of trying to get the meat of what I wanted to share, but every single one of these words means something. In 23 it says, And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from there a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes, which the children of Israel cut down from there. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and he said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "No, we're not able to overcome it. We can't go up against the people, for they're stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." So I'm going to stop there. It keeps going on to 14, but I'd encourage everybody to kind of keep reading on 14 and 15. But we're just going to talk about 13. We got enough stuff to go over here. But just a few points that I want to point out, and we're not going to dive into every single point, but just a quick summary. So the very first sentence, "The Lord spoke." Okay, we're going to come back around to that here. But just kind of going through, you know, the very first, the verse number 2 says the story starts with a promise from God. He spoke to Moses a promise. He said, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel." He already said, he started with a promise. "I'm giving you this land." Right? So just keep that in mind as we're kind of reading through this. You know, in Psalms 34, 1 through 4, it says, let me read that real quick. It says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." You know, that word magnified, I heard a sermon probably 4 or 5 years ago about this verse, and it's really stuck with me, because there was the guy that was talking about this verse was talking about just binoculars. And, you know, looking through a set of binoculars, and the binoculars magnify what it is you're looking at. You know, and that visual has stuck with me, because it's like, what are we looking at? What are we magnifying? And that verse has stuck with me when I think about that, is just that visual picture of looking through binoculars. You know, are we looking at and magnifying the Lord? Are we looking at and magnifying our problems? Right? So that was with me just as I was reading this week and kind of meditating on this, and I had all kind of crazy stuff at work that, you know, this story just kept coming up this week, you know, just thinking about it. But, you know, God started this whole verse 13 with a promise, said, "I give this land to the Israelites." So the other point that I kind of wanted to point out in the end of verse 2 and going into 3 says 2 times that these were leaders in the tribe. These spies were leaders. All right? They did say the land flows with milk and honey, and that there were some large fruit. It took 2 guys to bring the grapes to show this fruit that's in the land. Then they go on and they start saying, "Nevertheless, the people are strong, the cities are walled, they're very great, the Amalekites dwell in the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, they dwell in the mountains, the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan." And then it says Caleb stilled the people. And it was funny, yesterday I was at work, I had this lady, one of my employees, kind of ran up to me, and I had about 3 or 4 people with me. She runs up to me, and she comes in front of me, and she goes, I was like, "What are you doing?" And she was like, "I'm taking a deep breath." And we all just started laughing. Because at work, I have this thing where people are always coming with troubles, and, you know, I'm always, "Take a deep breath, hold on, you know, relax. You know, that had a lady that was one of a department manager of mine was going out to, she went to help out in automotive the other day. She used to work out there, and we have a, at our Walmart, there's a, I have an auto care center where we change tires and oil change and all that. Well, we were short staffed, so this department manager volunteered, went over there, and she goes over there, and you know, about an hour and a half later, she comes into my office with like two people following her, and she's like, Jeff, we got like four claims. And she's going through the first one. Someone went to change a tire, and then Joseph went to da da da. And I'm like, all right, hold on. You know, deep breath, hold on. One by one, and we kind of went through, and she kind of explained the first one. Okay, where's that guy? Well, he dropped it off. He's coming on later today. And she kind of went through the different claims. So I go over there and kind of start digging in, get with one guy, and we dig in. That was the service manager that was there already solved that one. That one was off. By the time we got done with it, there was nothing, no claim at all. And this particular department manager, I mean, she was kind of out of her element a little bit, so she was kind of just worked up. But it was just funny, you know, just kind of, there was just drama, creating drama where it wasn't necessary. But I thought of that story this week, you know, this story in Numbers, as I was kind of reading through this, you know, that kind of, that spoke to me. But Caleb stilled the people. He was like, hey, everybody, relax. He said, let us go up at once. And then Caleb said, we are able to overcome the land. You know, in fact, in chapter 14, if you keep reading, it says Caleb and Joshua, they rent their clothes and they said, this is an exceeding good land. They're trying to convince the people this is a good land. you know, and that word, you know, where it says we're well able to overcome the land. You know, when Jim started talking about Revelations this year, I kind of went through, you know, the first, I don't know, four or five chapters, and I don't know how many times it says it, but that word overcame just kept jumping up to me. You know, in Revelations, it's, you know, it talks about those that overcome, the overcomers, those that overcome. So there is, you know, there is a piece of overcoming and fighting for the land. I definitely recognize that. There's, you know, so anyways, but it says, the guys that were with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are. The land eats up the inhabitants. Don't know what that means, but there, you know, I've heard different stories. There were giants there, and whatever it is, it was a bad deal. They were eating up the people, or these guys were saying. And they brought up an evil report. And the Hebrew word for evil is debah, which is slander. I thought this was interesting. Slander is a malicious, false, and defamatory statement or report. And really, I got to thinking, it's really slander against God, because God told them, you know, go into this land. I give this land to you. And their report's different than what God says. You know, it's kind of that, is God true or is he a liar? Let God be true and every man a liar. You know, which one are we believing? You know, which one are we focusing on? You know, if God gave them the land, then, you don't have to question it. Go for it. Get in there. You know, the evil report said, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So I'm emphasizing that for a particular reason. These guys were looking with their natural eyes. You know, and when I was kind of reading through this story this week, I was thinking of in 2 Kings chapter 6, there's, I'll just read, I won't read the whole thing, but it's a story where Elisha, the king of Syria, sends a whole host of people to surround Elisha. And it says, and he said, this is the king of Syria, said, go and spy where he is, where Elisha is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night, and they compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Which is, he was freaking out. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with him. So Elijah said, don't be afraid, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And this servant's like, man, there's me and you. You know, we're surrounded. And it said, Elijah prayed and he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. So I thought of this same story when, you know, you see these spies and like what they're looking at. You know, we have angels and God, his Holy Spirit in us every day. You know, I heard a story the other day, some friends of ours, were at their house and they were talking about their son. They used to live in Tyler and their house kind of overlooked a lake, and their son was real young, didn't know how to swim, but was out in the lake and they could see him, and he was holding a toy or something up in the water. Like he was drowning, but that toy wasn't going to get wet. And he was holding it up in the air, and his dad had just taken off on the boat and was going to go fishing. Well, his dad just turned the boat around, came back and saw him and scooped him up out of the water. The mom saw it too when she was looking from the living room. But, you know, the whole point, their testimony was they don't know what told them to look out there to check on him. You know, the dad was already taken off. He was gone, but he turned around real quick. I mean, the kid was fine, but, you know, it really impacted them. This kid's like 19 years old now, you know, but they still are like, man, the Lord spoke to them, was their testimony, and told them, you know, the mom was doing work for hours and he was out there with the dad. And I mean, it was kind of a long story, but the gist of it was the Lord spoke to them, you know. So these spies were looking with two different sets of eyes. We had the same amount of guys looking at the same situation, giving two completely different reports. You know, the store that I'm at is, it has a certain classification. It's called a complex store, and there's a handful of these in the nation. And I used to go to this store when I was an assistant manager to go fix it. My market manager would go and I'd do projects and stuff there to work on a certain thing that they had a problem with or whatever. So I was in this store all the time. And there was an opening that came open at this store. And for me, it would have been a big promotion. So I was like, man, I'm in. And I had worked with 15, 16, 17 different assistant managers that none of them wanted to put in for this store that I'm at right now. And I'm like, guys, why this is a huge promotion, good pay bump, and da-da-da, and they just listed the problems. And it is. There's a reason it's called a complex store. And it had some opportunities, and it still does. But I have been so blessed at that store. I've been there for almost 3 years, and I've told you guys, you know, when I get to the store, one of my routines is I drive around the building just to see if there's anything crazy, trash or debris or pallets or dead animal or something. I don't know. There's always something. I always got a good two or three notes to get done when I drive the building. But, you know, I drive the building, and I pray for my associates. I pray for, you know, it's kind of like Jericho. I look at it like Jericho, and not that the building would fall down, but that the strongholds and that, you know, that it would be a blessed day. And, you know, I thought of that and just how blessed I've been at that store. I've had, you know, bonuses and stuff. I've gotten out of debt. The Lord's really provided in a way. You know, when I went there, I saw just, it's a real busy store. I mean, it's packed. It's one of the busiest stores in Texas. And I saw opportunity. You know, but to a certain extent, there's plenty of trials. There is plenty of battles that I've had to fight at that store, and it still has more stuff to do. But just from a personal, you know, testimony, it's, you know, again, my perspective is God is with me. That is my perspective, is that he's for me, he loves me. You know, and if he wanted me to go somewhere else, I'd go somewhere else. If he didn't want me to work at Walmart, I'd go work somewhere else. You know, he'll open the right doors for us. You know, we don't have to worry. You know, I'm just so thankful, you know, to walk into a situation. People thought I was crazy for going to that store. And I had my market manager came through our store the other day, and we've had the president of Walmart came through my store within the past 6 months. I've had like 6 regional visits. I had my market manager through the store last week, and he was like, man, guys, y'all are making this look easy. You're making this complex store look easy. So, you know, so he's talking about taking that classification away from the store, which we don't want because we get paid more to be there. So we got to mess it up next time he's coming by. But, you know, our God calls us to give a good report. You know, but it's not so much give a good report. It's more of like, Lord, show us your love. You know, God showed me his love in 1993, and I've shared with you guys my testimony, but it impacted me enough to change my life forever. I'm done. And so, he is so awesome. and so good. And I still, you know, sometimes I feel like I just kind of see the tip of the iceberg as far as his love for me. And, you know, he's so good. So anyways, you know, one other thing that spoke to me in this, you know, this chapter was, it says the Lord spoke to Moses, right? And then who did Moses speak to? The leaders. Then who did the leaders speak to? The people, right? Anybody played the telephone game before? You know, I come over here, I tell Larry something, okay? And then Larry goes down the line. By the time it got around to the very, it would be completely different than what the original word that I told Larry was. I can guarantee I've done this so many times just at work, and we did it with in our family one time. It was funny. But, you know, just hearing God, you know, and there's one thing that just, you know, I told y'all we went to nationals and just a lot of good fellowship, but one of the conversations I got into was just about the Holy Spirit. And I think I shared this last time when, you know, I was testifying, but to me, it's mind-boggling. There's, like, denominations, there's people that don't believe in the Holy Spirit. I don't even understand that. It's like, the Holy Spirit is the indwelling. That's like, that's God. And it's, I mean, there's a lot of theology there, but my goodness, that is God within us, living within us, speaking to us, you know. And so, just, I know my testimony in my life is I'm thankful, and I'm not talking about just tongues, you know, but the indwelling Holy Spirit, you know. And there's, I know when people say the Holy Spirit, a lot of times denominationally they're talking about tongues and the gifts and, you know, the gifts ceasing and this and that. But man, to me, that is everything. You know, if you got Father who created everything and Jesus who came and saved us, and Jesus even said, it's better for me to go. I've got to go so that I can send back the Holy Spirit, right? So Jesus goes, he sends back the Holy Spirit so that he could be in the hearts of all of us all over the world all the time. So it's not just like just in, you know, Jerusalem or just at this meeting or just walking down, you know, the road to Emmaus or whatever, where, you know, their hearts burned with them, but every day, you know. So this story spoke to me too. Just, that was something just kind of new this week that I saw, was just, you know, God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to the leaders. Leaders spoke to the congregation. But we get that opportunity to just go and get straight from God. You know, there was a story in the New Testament where it talks about John the Baptist. And it said John the Baptist was the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. And, you know, and then it goes on to say even the least of the kingdom now is greater than John the Baptist. I don't know that I fully understand that, but I will, you know, when Jesus left and sent back the Holy Spirit, I do know that was monumental. Something, there was a big shift. You know, it was different from the Old Testament to the New Testament. There's something now that we have that we can come boldly in. And I mean, they had it too. Moses, Abraham, and, you know, Jim's taught on that and how they, you know, they had mercy and they had grace. But there's just something I definitely, you know, to have God with us all the time, you know, everywhere we go. So anyways, I guess, you know, the message is to just give a good report. And, you know, another verse that kind of popped up as I was kind of reading through and studying this was, and we could talk all day about this, but death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, the things that these spies went back and said, and I mean, they're carrying huge things of grapes. I mean, it took two people to carry this thing. You know, it's like the picture itself is a testimony. It's like, wow, this place is awesome. You know, and yet they're testifying, saying, oh, yeah, no, it's bad, da da da, and just gave a bad report. But man, I could talk for days about death and life being in the power of the tongue, the stuff that we say. So. Anyways, I don't really have a whole lot more. I'm thankful to be here and to share on Father's Day. We have an awesome, awesome Father. You know, the kids are, my wife and the boys are in Virginia today, and so everybody was, you know, calling me and texting me. And, you know, I just was thinking just how awesome our dad is. You know, and even the champions and stuff that they don't, you know, don't have parents, but they've got an awesome, awesome God. And that's the best calling that we can do as parents. I'm almost embarrassed as a parent, you know, just to the job I've done, you know, just it's embarrassing. So I always want to deflect them to God. And even today when they sent me a message, I sent back, oh man, God is awesome, you know. Deflection, give them to God, right? And so that's kind of what Joel does, you know, in Uganda. And we teach them about God. So anyways, I don't really have anything else, but it's funny, as I was praying through this week, I don't know if you guys, I know a lot of people in our church, Jim and I have gone to, and the LaBrosse has gone to a Saturday morning Torah Bible study, and some of you guys I think do too, but all the Jews in the world study the same scripture verses every Saturday. It's called the Torah portion. And yesterday I was kind of reading through and I was studying this thing throughout the week, and I knew what God was speaking to me, and that's what I was going to share. Well, strangely, that's the Torah portion this week, is Numbers 13 through like 15. So there's a lot of people across the world reading the same thing that we read today. So anyways, God's good. He's good. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for just being an awesome, awesome God. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your power and your provision. And Lord, I know there's things in our life, in my life, that you're speaking to me, that you've already promised me, that I'm afraid. So Lord, grow us, change us. Thank you that you're so loving, you discipline us, and you're constantly drawing us close to you. So open our eyes to see, just like Elisha prayed, open their eyes, that we would see how much you are for us, that you just have a whole heavenly host around us, protecting us and keeping us, and just you have nothing but just awesome stuff for us. So we thank you, Lord, for that, and we thank you for the fact that you are so, so good. And pray for every family here. We do pray for our brothers and sisters in Uganda and for Joel's ministry and all the champions, Lord. Bless them. Help them to have that revelation that they aren't missing parents. They've got the perfect parent. So we thank you, and we pray that they would, each one of them, have that revelation, that their dad is the dad in heaven that created heaven and earth. And that same God that created the universes, the galaxies, the stars, the sun, everything, he knows how many hairs they have on their head. And he wants to live and be with each one of them. So, Lord, we pray for the champions and for everybody here. We love you and praise you. We thank you for just being so good. In Jesus' name. Amen.